Imagine you're happily building the third floor of a house. You know, you're meticulously measuring the drywall, you're installing these custom windows, maybe debating paint colors with your crew.
Right. Totally focused on the work.
Exactly. But you're completely unaware that management actually scheduled the entire building for demolition, like yesterday. You are pouring all this energy into a structure that is already condemned.
I mean, it's a brutal image, but honestly, that is the precise reality currently facing developers inside one of the most famous gaming studios in the world right now.
Yeah.
And, well, it perfectly captures this terrifying dynamic we're seeing across multiple wildly different industries.
Yeah, where the people doing the actual work, and I guess the public consuming it too,
yeah,
are entirely in the dark about the structural ground just shifting beneath their feet.
Exactly.
Well, welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are pulling from a really fascinating source. It's the Tech Ignite 2026 Tech, Gaming, and AI Intelligence Briefing, dated May 26th, 2026.
It's a massive report.
It really is.
Yeah.
And the mission here isn't just to, you know, read you the news. We are unpacking a world caught in the friction between rapid, blinding technological change, the opacity of corporate decision-making,
yeah,
and the quiet struggle to maintain basic human values in the middle of all of it. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, so the briefing opens with this massive internal crisis tearing apart Bungie. And, you know, this is the studio that essentially defined the modern console shooter with Halo, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And they pioneered the whole live service model with Destiny. But according to reports from Forbes and IGN that are featured in the briefing, Bungie leadership recently made this monumental decision to just end active development on Destiny 2.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
But the truly shocking part is the communication strategy here. Or, well, the total lack of one.
Right.
They kept the vast majority of their staff completely in the dark. Like, only a select few teams knew, basically the ones working on a final June update and the team transitioning to their new extraction shooter, Marathon, which, you know, launched earlier in March.
Which means the rest of the studio was still showing up every single day, just pouring their creative souls into future Destiny 2 content.
Yeah.
Including this major planned expansion called the Shattered Cycle. They were completely oblivious to the fact that their project was already dead on a spreadsheet somewhere.
It's just wild.
Yeah.
And if we look at the mechanics of a live service game, keeping your developers in the dark isn't just an internal HR failure. It literally breaks the actual product.
Oh, totally.
Because live service games aren't like movies where you release them and just walk away. They are living ecosystems. Mm. Developers are constantly interacting with the community on Reddit, you know, promising updates, taking feedback. If the developers don't know the game is secretly canceled, they are inadvertently lying to millions of players every single day.
And the financial fallout of that broken trust is staggering. If we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to look at Sony's acquisition of Bungie back in July 2022.
Right.
That was for $3.6 billion. Sony acquired them specifically for their expertise in managing these massive, engaged communities. But instead, the briefing notes that Sony just reported a $765 million impairment loss directly tied to Bungie's underperformance.
Man, that $765 million number isn't just a bad quarter. It is a direct metric of what happens when corporate opacity destroys your internal culture.
Exactly.
Employees reportedly begged leadership to tell the rest of the studio the truth. And when leadership refused, it triggered this massive talent exodus. The studio that built its entire empire on radical transparency with its players failed spectacularly at being transparent with its own people.
Yeah, it's a huge irony. And while Bungie is a prime example of a legacy company failing to adapt its internal culture, the briefing actually places this right next to another legacy brand. But this one is attempting a massive structural shift by fundamentally reinventing its own soul. We are looking at Ferrari.
Okay, this is a fascinating pivot.
Right.
Ferrari is releasing the Luce, which is Italian for light.
Wow.
This is their first ever all-electric vehicle. And they didn't just quietly build an EV. They brought in legendary Apple designer Joni Ive and his studio Love From to basically dictate the design language from day one.
Which is a huge deal.
Yeah. And the physical specs are almost absurd. Four electric motors pushing over 1,035 horsepower in boost mode. It does 0 to 100 kilometers an hour in 2.5 seconds.
Wow.
It seats five people, has four doors, and starts at over 550,000 euros.
Making it the most expensive and arguably the most controversial consumer Ferrari ever produced.
But I have to push back on the core philosophy here. Joni Ive's entire design ethos is minimalism. Think of the iPhone or a MacBook, right? Silent, seamless, frictionless glass and aluminum.
Very clean.
Yeah. But Ferrari is the exact opposite. Ferrari's loud, chaotic, mechanical Italian heritage. The roaring V12 engine is the beating heart of the brand. Can a silent, minimalist 5-seat EV really be a Ferrari? Like, doesn't swapping a combustion engine for a battery pack strip away the visceral soul of the machine?
Well, that tension was the primary engineering hurdle they had to solve, because the challenge wasn't making the car fast. I mean, electric motors are inherently fast.
Right.
The challenge was emotional resonance. How do you retain a visceral experience without a combustion engine? Many EV manufacturers try to solve this by simply installing speakers in the cabin and playing synthesized fake engine noises.
Which always feels incredibly cheap to me. It's like you're playing a racing simulator in an arcade rather than driving a physical machine.
Exactly. And Ferrari refused to do that. The briefing details this brilliant mechanical solution. They installed a sophisticated physical accelerometer into the chassis.
Okay.
This device physically captures the authentic torque vibrations generated by the rear electric motors under heavy acceleration. It then mechanically amplifies those specific vibrations and transmits them directly into the cabin structure and the seats.
Wait, really? So you aren't listening to an MP3 of a V12. You are actually feeling the authentic physical mechanics of the electric powertrain working at its absolute limit.
Yes, exactly.
That's incredible. They are using advanced technology to preserve transparency between the machine and the driver.
They really are. Ferrari managed to push the absolute limits of mechanical engineering while keeping the physical reality intact. But this briefing places two highly polarizing philosophies side by side. We are about to look at what happens when that same limitless, boundary-pushing ethos is applied not to a sports car, but to the human body.
Ah, right. And real quick, before we jump into this next part, we need to frame this carefully. The controversy surrounding our next two topics touch on some deeply charged ethical and societal debates. So to be clear to you listening, we are unpacking the arguments from both camps impartially here. We are not taking sides, just reporting what's in the briefing to see what it reveals about our culture's relationship with technology.
Right. So let's look at the enhanced games. The briefing highlights a 32-year-old swimmer named Christian Gulamev. He just broke the unofficial 50-meter freestyle world record, swimming it in 20.81 seconds. That beats the official world record by 0.07 seconds. And in a sprint that short, 0.07 of a second is a massive margin.
Huge.
He walked away with a $1 million prize. But he did it in a temporary pool set up in a Las Vegas casino parking lot at an event explicitly designed to allow performance-enhancing drugs that are strictly banned by the World Anti-Doping Agency.
That is such a wild visual. But the organizers of the enhanced games operate on a very specific philosophy, right?
Right.
They argue that traditional sports are fundamentally hypocritical, just plagued by secret doping and outdated regulations.
Yeah, that's their stance.
Their proposed solution is to, quote, democratize performance enhancement. They frame this whole event as a science-forward alternative designed to strip away the bureaucracy and study the absolute true limits of human potential when aided by unregulated chemistry and technology.
But there is a glaring contradiction in their argument. The briefing points out that despite the organizers claiming this is a transparent science-forward endeavor, the athletes competing are actively refusing to disclose the actual pharmacological protocols they are using.
Right. And if you are hiding the variables, you aren't doing science.
Exactly.
Science requires peer review, control groups, transparent methodologies. If an athlete swims a record time but won't say what chemical compound allowed them to do it, it's just a black box.
This raises an important question about the line between scientific discovery and exploitation. Because without transparency regarding the substances and without rigorous long-term health monitoring of these athletes, the scientific argument kind of collapses.
Yeah.
Critics highlighted in the briefing point out that this isn't a laboratory, it is a dangerous commercial spectacle. You have a scenario where an athlete like Gulamev, who competed in four traditional Olympics without ever meddling, is suddenly incentivized by a $1 million payday to experiment on his own endocrine system.
It is the ultimate expression of unregulated enhancement driven by profit. And that specific dynamic, the unchecked push for efficiency and performance at the expense of human well-being, is the exact target of a massive intervention from one of the oldest continuous institutions on the planet.
Yes. The briefing details the release of a 150-page encyclical from Pope Leo XIV titled Magnifica Humanitas. And this is a profound, unprecedented, and highly public attack on the monopolies of big tech, specifically focusing on the deployment of artificial intelligence.
The language is incredibly sharp, too. The Pope is literally calling on global governments to disarm artificial intelligence.
Disarm, that's a strong word.
Right. He warns that AI, in its current unregulated, hyper-commercialized state, risks hollowing out human work. He is pointing the finger at opaque algorithms controlled by a handful of private companies, arguing they are reducing civilization to mere data systems, where human beings are valued only for their efficiency rather than their inherent dignity.
What's fascinating here is the historical context the Vatican is using. The encyclical explicitly draws a parallel to a famous document from 1891 called Rerum Novarum.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that 1891 text addressed the brutal exploitation of factory workers during the Industrial Revolution. It argued that capital could not treat labor merely as a machine input. The Pope is using artificial intelligence as a modern lens to diagnose that exact same, much older issue.
That makes so much sense. The Industrial Revolution moved humanity from the fields to the factories, and the Vatican stepped in to say human beings aren't cogs.
Right.
Now, AI is moving humanity from cognitive work to, well, whatever comes next, and the Vatican is stepping in to warn that humans cannot become just a biological input for an algorithm. They are demanding that technology serve the common good, rather than just concentrating wealth in Silicon Valley.
It is a sweeping moral argument about transparency and power. But, you know, the briefing takes a terrifying turn here, because while institutions are having these very public philosophical debates about the morality of AI, out in the shadows, AI has already fundamentally broken the architecture of global cybersecurity.
Here's where it gets really interesting. A May 2026 report from Google Threat Intelligence just documented the first confirmed case of cybercriminals using AI tools to autonomously discover and exploit a zero-day vulnerability.
And to understand the gravity of this, we have to look at the mechanics of a zero-day. A zero-day is a critical flaw in a piece of software that the original vendor is completely unaware of.
Right, so zero-day is to fix it.
Exactly. The developers literally have zero-day's head start to fix it before hackers start using it to break into systems. Historically, finding a true zero-day required an elite team of nation-state hackers spending months reverse engineering code. It was a slow, artisanal process.
But AI just industrialized it. The timeline has completely collapsed. At first, this AI integration was just a nuisance, right? Security researchers running bug bounty programs, where companies pay independent hackers to find flaws, were suddenly flooded with what they called AI slop.
Yeah, just garbage reports.
Right. I picture it like a town panning for gold in a river. Suddenly, the river floods with millions of pieces of fool's gold generated by cheap AI models. It clogs up the whole system. Developers, like Daniel Stenberg, who runs the critical open-source tool Curl, actually had to shut down their bug bounty programs because human engineers couldn't manually sort through the thousands of fake AI reports.
But the critical turning point happened shortly after that. The nature of these AI language models is that they iterate on failure.
Oh, right.
When a bounty program rejects an AI-generated bug report, the model learns why it was rejected. It essentially weaponized the bug bounty platforms as its own training ground.
That is terrifying.
Yeah. Stenberg noted that a few months later, the slop just vanished. Instead, they began getting hit with a high volume of incredibly sophisticated, highly accurate AI-assisted security reports. The models learned what real vulnerabilities look like.
Think about the IT department at your workplace right now. For decades, the entire cybersecurity industry has relied on a concept called the 90-day responsible disclosure window. When a good guy researcher finds a flaw, they privately tell the company, and the company has 90 days to write a patch before the flaw is made public. That window is officially dead.
It's gone. The math simply doesn't work anymore. You cannot rely on a 90-day patching cycle when autonomous AI tools can discover a novel vulnerability and generate the code to weaponize it in a matter of hours.
Wow.
The industry is being violently forced to abandon reactive patching. The briefing highlights a massive shift towards secure by design architecture.
What does that actually look like in practice?
Well, it means moving entirely to memory-safe programming languages and structural defenses that make entire categories of bugs mathematically impossible. Because the old cat and mouse game of finding and fixing individual bugs is over. The attackers are moving faster than human developers can type.
And if AI is accelerating how fast attackers can find an open window into your network, the most advanced threat actors are currently building weapons that operate like absolute ghosts once they actually get inside.
Yeah, the briefing details a chilling discovery by researchers at Fox IT. They uncovered a new malware strain called Remote PE, and it's deployed by the Lazarus Group, which is a highly sophisticated cyber threat actor directly linked to North Korea.
The mechanism of this malware completely breaks traditional defense systems.
Right.
Remote PE executes entirely in the computer's memory, the RAM. It leaves absolutely zero trace on the physical hard drive.
None at all.
Think about how traditional computer forensics works. If a server is hacked, investigators unplug it, pull the hard drive, and scan the disk for malicious files. But because Remote PE lives only in the volatile RAM, the moment the power is cut, the malware vanishes.
Poof, gone.
Exactly. And even when it decides to delete a file on the network, it doesn't just move it to a trash bin. It overwrites the target file 7 separate times with random bytes before deletion, completely vaporizing any forensic footprint.
The economic stakes of this invisible warfare are astronomical. Lazarus isn't just hacking for fun. They are executing military-grade economic heists. In just the first 4 months of 2026, Lazarus stole $577 million in cryptocurrency.
That is an insane amount of money in 4 months.
Right. That single group accounted for 76% of the total global crypto theft for the year in just over 100 days. Since 2017, they have extracted over $6 billion. And intelligence agencies confirm that capital goes directly into funding the North Korean regime's ballistic missile and weapons programs.
So how on earth do you, defend against a ghost that leaves no files and operates purely in memory? The briefing explains that traditional signature-based antivirus software is now entirely obsolete.
Pretty much.
Yeah, because an antivirus scanner looks for known bad files sitting on a hard drive. Remote PE ensures there are no files to find.
Defense mechanisms have to evolve to structural paranoia. Organizations are being forced to adopt zero-trust architecture. And this isn't just a buzzword, it's a structural mechanism. It means the network fundamentally assumes that a hacker is already inside the perimeter. Every single time a program tries to open a file, move to another server, or send an outgoing transmission, it has to cryptographically prove its identity all over again.
Wow, okay.
You combine that with behavioral monitoring, which ignores files entirely and instead watches for strange activities like, say, a calculator app suddenly trying to connect to a server in Eastern Europe.
Right, that shouldn't be happening. But you know, the most terrifying detail in the Fox IT report is how Lazarus actually gets this invisible military-grade malware onto a corporate network in the first place.
Oh, yeah. This is the part that gets everyone.
They don't use some impossibly complex AI brute force attack.
Yeah.
They use basic human psychology. They hop on an app like Telegram, pose as a recruiter or maybe a colleague, and send an employee a fake Calendly invite to schedule a meeting.
It's so simple.
The employee clicks the link, and boom, the invisible payload drops right into the RAM. That means, despite all the talk of secure by design architecture and AI defenses, human employee training against social engineering is literally the last real front line we have.
The human element remains the single most critical and vulnerable point of failure.
So what does this all mean? Let's trace the massive arc we just traveled today. We started by looking at Bungie keeping secrets from its own development team, a structural opacity that destroyed their internal culture and hemorrhaged hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Then we examine the enhanced games, where athletes are hiding the pharmacological realities of their performance behind a smokescreen of so-called science. And we ended in the digital shadows, with Lazarus Group deploying malware that intentionally erases its own physical existence to operate invisibly in system memory. Across all these wildly different spheres, a lack of transparency is the common destructive thread.
Absolutely. And the briefing also provides the blueprint for survival here. Ferrari demonstrated that a legacy institution can completely adapt its underlying technology to the future, provided they engineer a transparent way to preserve the authentic soul of the experience.
Right.
And the Vatican's encyclical serves as a profound demand that we force ethical transparency onto the architects of artificial intelligence before they rewire the global economy. True adaptation in 2026 isn't just about deploying the fastest AI model or hiding behind opaque algorithms. It requires a fierce commitment to maintaining human values, verifiable trust, and structural transparency in the face of unprecedented high-speed change.
We started today by talking about the absolute danger of building a house without realizing the foundation has already been condemned. Transparency is the only thing that allows us to see the blueprint. But as we wrap up, I want to leave you, listening at home, with a final lingering question to mull over on your own.
Always the best part.
We just explored how AI models can now autonomously discover and weaponize zero-day vulnerabilities in a matter of hours, collapsing the human patching window. We also saw that malware now operates completely invisibly, bypassing traditional human forensic tracking. If offensive attacks are becoming entirely autonomous, invisible, and executing at speeds far beyond human reaction time, will the future of our cybersecurity inherently require autonomous AI defense systems that operate entirely without human oversight? Are we rapidly approaching a threshold where the only mathematical way to protect our digital infrastructure is to effectively force ourselves entirely out of the loop of our own protection?
An architecture where the machines fight the machines in the dark and we just have to trust the outcome. That is a heavy concept to carry forward.
It really is. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, stay vigilant, and we'll catch you next time.